Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back, beloveds, to God's Purpose Ministry, where I am your servant host, Pastor Olivia Deloach. Yes, for those who follow me, it has been a couple of months due to not of any problem of my own, but that's all right. We back where we ought to be. So I pray that you are back on the line. And if not, I just want you to reach out to those. If you enjoyed this time, give them the call-in number. And this year, beloved, we're going to hook it up where you can call in and we can chit-chat because our time has been extended. But tonight, just for our first night back, we're going to do our regular 30 minutes, but our time has been extended where we can do talk time. Praise God. He is wonderful. Well, tonight, beloved, we're going to talk about frustration, amen, and forgiveness. But how are we going to do? You know, I always bring us a book, and we read from that book series for a few weeks and move on. Well, tonight, we're going to do just, I'm going to do little mini chapters and share different segments. So it's segments tonight, and I pray that you will be blessed as much as I was blessed reading it. But we're going to come out of the book Awaken. Amen. Yes, Awaken. There are some things that need to be awakened in us if it's not already been awakened. And there are some things that we are in an awakening season. Hallelujah. So let's, if we are the ones who's in the awakening season, let us not forget those brothers and sisters behind us. Shake them. Tell them, well, wake up, wake up. Amen. It is time for us to become awakened in the things of God that we may hear what thus said the Lord. Amen. So we, Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you for the awakening season. We thank you for what you're doing and always do and continue to do in our life. We give you glory. We give you honor. We praise your holy name, for you are worthy. Yes, you are worthy of the praise. And we stand on the word of God. No weapon form against us shall prosper. It may form, but it cannot, and it shall not, and it will not prosper. Father, we thank you for the increase in our lives of the things that you want us to increase in, oh God. We thank you for the hedge of protection and the armor that you give us. We thank you that we walk in wisdom, faith, and authority, oh God. We just praise your holy name, God. We expect the unexpected. We walk in expectation in you, oh God, and we will not be ignorant to the enemy's devices, and we just praise your name. And Lord, I thank you for those who was able to join in on tonight. You know their needs. You know where they're at. And Father, we know that you can meet them. We, and not only do you meet them, I ask you that to lean in even now and kiss their heart. Kiss their heart, God, and let them know, I'm here. I got you. I got your back. Amen. And we give you glory. We want to start off tonight with our declaration. We usually do a declaration, so we don't want to go away from that. And so you can repeat after me. I declare there is an anointing of ease on my life. God is going before me, making crooked places straight. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I will not, come on, get this, I will not continually struggle. What used to be difficult will not be difficult anymore. Come on, God's favor, ha, come here, and blessings on my life is lightening the load and taking the pressure off. This is my declaration. We just thank you, Lord. Amen. We thank you. Well, beloved, I said we're just going to do a little segments tonight. And we want to start with the first segment. We want to start with, it's called Table Talk. There'll be a little bit small segments, but Table Talk. table talk is going to come from 1 Samuel, and I always tell you, get your pen and your pencil, write the scripture down, and then go back and read them and reference scriptures if you can, because it's better that you read them for yourself. Amen? But we're going to talk about the scripture. 1 Samuel 1 and 18 said, "So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad." And here we're going to talk about if you lost your hunger for life, love, or joy. If you're marked today, anybody, beloved, by fatigue, depression, and weakness. If you feel a little interested in things that used to interest you the most. Okay, so you don't lost your interest is what we're talking about. An Old Testament woman, a Testament woman, can show you how to get your appetite back. That's a woman in the Old Testament who went through the fatigue, who went through the depression, who was weak. She lost her hunger for life. She lost her hunger for love. She lost her hunger for joy. But we just want to call her up. We just want to call her up and let her just share a little of her story and just share with us how to get it back. And her name is Hannah. Oh, y'all know Hannah, you Bible readers. You know Hannah. Hannah was in despair. Her rival wife, come on, Peniel, was bearing children for their shared husband. Yes, shared husband. As fast as she can conceive them. Yet Hannah suffered alone, silently in her barrenness. Hear this other woman. You got me, girls. Hear this other woman sharing your husband, calling her wife, and just having babies. As they said, putting them out is quick, quick, quick. And here you are, his one he say he loved, his beloved, and you cannot have a child. And you know, if you read in the Bible's day, if you was barren, that was like a curse. Yes, that was like a curse. Constantly, this other woman berated her. She was being berated by her provocations and chatty remarks. You know how catty we can get? Hannah came to the point of being so distraught, she didn't even feel like eating. That's over in verse 7, if you want to get it, 1 Samuel 1 and verse 7. Maybe you've been there feeling that upset. Maybe you are there now burdened by dashed hopes, lost love, crippled dreams, ill in health, or deliberating difficulties and trauma. Not even your favorite foods could tempt you right now. Not now. But things change for Hannah. Let's do like Church of God in Christ. Tell yourself it's subject to change. Something's changed, something has changed. Giving us hope that can change for us as well. There was a change coming on the scene for Hannah. The family took their, if you know the story, the family took their annual pilgrimage to Shiloh, where the house of the Lord was located. And while there, greatly distressed, remember, Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And her desire for a child was so deep and extreme that she vowed to relinquish this yet preconceived son to the Lord as an offering of thanks, dedicating his life into the service of God and God's people. Her prayer was so intense and passionate, the Bible said that Eli the prince mistook her for a drunken woman. Let's stop right there. Put a bookmark right there. You hear what she said? Her preconceived son. She wasn't even pregnant yet by faith. Come on here. She went to God by faith, knowing you're going to give it to me. I'm coming and I'm speaking the word of God. I'm by faith, I'm speaking life that I will conceive. I have conceived by faith, and I'm staying right here. Okay? Praise God. And she was so intense in her prayer. They said that the priest thought she was drunk. When you are in your prayer, when you is in your service, in your worship, what people, when they look over, what do they see? Are you so in tune with God that they almost think you done lost your mind? Are you so in tune with God that they can see the Shekinah glory over your life? Come on here. I just love what God is doing. I'm so excited. But, tell somebody, But finally, with her heart completely poured out before God, something remarkable happened. She opened herself, beloveds. She laid before the Lord. She didn't just in body, but in mind, soul, spirit, everything about her said, "Hear my Lord." She, and when she did that, when she sold completely to God, when she didn't let nothing stand in her way, no circumstances, no situation, no isms, no schisms, no end of William, nothing, no hurt, no pain, no sorrow. It's just me and you, God. It said something began to happen. What happened? God gave Hannah her appetite back. God gave her that bounce, what I like to call that bounce back power. We need that bounce back power. Despite her prayer yet to be answered, because the prayer had not been answered naturally from Hannah's aspect, but it was answered by God. Despite her cruel sister White taunting her, the woman's talking like, "You don't have a baby. I got all his babies. I'm the one. Despite her husband naive insensitivity to her condition, nothing had changed the tiniest bit in any of her pitiful circumstances. Despite that, yet after offloading her tears, come on, and frustrations, she went her way. She got up. See, after when you get through laying before the Lord, when you putting something down, you presenting to God, when you done gave all you can, you done worshiped Him, you need to get yourself up, brush yourself off, comb your hair, wash your pretty face, go on about your business. What it said, she went her way and she ate. And her face was no longer, listen this, she was no longer sad. Amazing what called out on the Lord can accomplish. You see what I'm saying? When we can call the name of Jesus, there is power, dunamis power, wonder-working power. Come on. Earth-shattering, devil-busting, and grave-raising power. In the name of Jesus. If that, let me tell you this, that's a good place to shout. If you ever wanted to shout, that was a good place to holler glory. That was a good place to tell God thank you. And if you can't say anything, the old people say, when you can't say a word, come on, you just wave your hand. And if you're sitting by yourself somewhere listening in, you can get up and do your dance, your victory dance. You don't have to look cute. You can just begin to holler glory. Thank you, God, because what He did for Hannah, He's doing for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He accomplished, the word accomplished, the power of prayer. Come on, let's get our prayer back. Can work wonders, not only in your spiritual life, but it's also in your physical life. Practical well-being, all through and through, mind, soul, body. He working wonders all the way down the in the inside of you. Beloved, He can give you your hunger back for food, for family, for work, for ministry, for life. There is no way. Do you know what I'm going to put this in? This is a freebie for somebody. When you are going through or whatever going on in our lives, come on, I'm talking to me as well. When we said we love the Lord, we said we God is in our life and we move it, we need to tell our face that. Because sometimes we need to only tell our face that, we need to tell our body language that. Because sometimes we as children of God, we walk around defeated. We look defeated. We sit defeated. We act defeated until we see the aftermath. In other words, when we see faith in action. And things coming back, now we're excited and we glory and we jumping and we shouting and we telling everybody about the good. But in the meantime, between asking and receiving, what are we doing? So when we she went down, Hannah went down believing. She was whining and she was crying, as people were saying. She was hurting, but in the midst, somewhere God must have leaned in and kissed Hannah's heart and awakened her. And then she began to say, look, I feel like she said with the Hebrew boy, if you can't, I know you able. Huh? If you don't. But she went believing, I got a son. I'm going to have a son. I'm going to have a son. And his name going to be. And God, not only he going to be, I'm going to give him back to you. If you just bless me with him, I'm going to give it back to you. What are we giving back to God? Huh? What are we giving back to God? Let us give our praise back to God. Let's give our worship back to God. Let's give ourselves back to God. Amen. Because why? In any moment, it is subject. Oh, yes. It is subject to change. Look, these minutes going fast. Let me move on. Let me move on to my other minute. Let's talk about forgiveness in action. And this one going to come, write this one down and you go back and study. 2 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verse 8 and 11. And the verse I want to read from said, I urge you to reaffirm. Come on here. It's talking about do it again. Do it again. Reaffirm your love for him. Who is him? Jesus. So that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan. You got to reaffirm your love, huh, for him. That no advantage, that Satan can't come in and take no advantage. And listen, forgiveness, unforgiveness, somebody hear this. Unforgiveness often feel like relatively harmless way of dealing with unpleasant circumstances or unpleasant people. It puts up an artificial shell of protection that makes us assume we are shielded from more damage. See, who you fooling? We put up these barriers in our lives. We keep you at a distance. And if you learn me or been on this line, you know the worst thing I heard was somebody say, I'm good. That's nothing but hurt talking then. I'm good. No, you're not good. Okay, but the enemy have us to put up these artificial shells to protect us from being hurt, from circumstances, an unpleasant situation. From our vantage point, though, of self-protection, it appears to be the most advantage posture to maintain, because it's the safest place or the only place we know. But listen, but Paul, here in 2 Corinthians, gives clarity on the demonic origins and the damaging outcome of unforgiveness. Oh, you better listen. Unforgiveness, this is what Paul writes, is one of the ways that a Christian is outwitted by Satan. 2 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, verse 11. Okay, go read it. It's one of the designs or schemes or devices our enemy uses to keep us jailed in bitterness, shackled by resentment, crippled from our effectiveness in prayer, come on, and stunt us in our power to stand against him victoriously. Did you get that? When our hearts become even slightly hardened by refusing to walk in free and open fellowship with another, we partner with the enemy in our own internal jelly. Let me stop right here. You can keep holding them grudges if you want to. But did you hear what it says? And when you do that, you are hooking up and becoming partners with the enemy. It'll keep you jailed in bitterness. Let me say it again. Shackle you by resentment, cripple you from effectiveness in your prayer, and stunt you in your power to stand against him victoriously. Yes. And somebody said, no, that's not true. Yes, yes, it is. Can you imagine if you think you're powerful now, what you will really be? Okay, I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me too. All right? Amen. The enemy is internal Jonas, beloved. The beloved Apostle John adds that anyone who chooses unforgiveness, and unforgiveness is a choice. It really is. I have a family member who hold on to grudges. I mean, literally, queen of holding on to grudges. Don't even want to forgive, and won't. But it said, but that's a choice, because you can choose to let it go. I didn't tell you to get over it. I'm saying let's get through it, okay? It's in the darkness, and it walks in the darkness. We children of light. We don't want to hook up with darkness. And it does not know where he's going, because the darkness had blinded his eyes. That's what 1 John, write these scriptures down. 1 John 2:11 said, it's no small thing, this unforgiveness, but perhaps a small yet critical suggestion could incite our complete escape from it. Paul, Brother Paul instructed the Corinthians to forgive actively, not just with your words, to seal the emotional effort of forgiving with a visible, tangible expression of love to the one who has offended us. So just you holler, I forgive you, that's not enough. Put some action behind that. It could be only a small overture, like something simply as a smile. Yeah, it don't cost you nothing to smile. A meal prepared. You know how we do, I forgive you, yeah, I forgive you, and you still frown and rolling your eyes when you see that person come and you walk to the other side. And then this is a wonderful, you know how we do, saints. So I said, that's how, whatever. That's not forgiveness. That's not forgiveness, beloved. Okay? But you can, when you extend your forgiveness again, you can go back, you can give them a smile. If you're strong enough, prepare a dinner. You can even, when they have a birthday, offer them a birthday wish. Look, an easier one than that, send them a friendly email. But when we do it, we deliberately move toward freedom instead of hoping it comes looking for us. You moving towards freedom. We shower the offender, the person that hurted you, that backstabbed you, that betrayed you, with the grace they weren't expecting, and likely they don't even deserve. They probably don't even deserve it. And where they may currently be overwhelmed by the level of excessive sorrow that we don't even know, whether by the broken relationship they miss sharing with us or by some other circumstances that weighs on them in private, or one little act of gracious generosity may be the nudge that shakes them loose from the stifling bondage of regret, shame, embarrassment they carry around on their shoulder. Beloved, do you know sometimes you are holding somebody's healing, somebody's salvation, somebody's victory in your hand? All you got to do is let go and let God and forgive them, for they can get their deliverance. That's a good place to shout. If your skin bristles at the thought of doing something kind for this person who has caused you so much pain, your hesitation alone can indicate that you're not as in line with forgiveness as you may once have thought. If that's bothering you, they still bothering you when you talk about them, if you rehash, look back over, think about it, and it make you cringe, it make you upset, you're not walking in forgiveness. But remember, you're not receiving any benefits by holding back. Instead, by remaining bitter, you're serving the enemy's purpose. You're falling prey to his schemes against you. And maybe that little reminder is all you need to encourage you not to let this issue linger any longer. All right? So forgive eternally and also actively. Let me just do one more if we have time. It's called No Offense. This is coming from Romans 14:13. Amen. Chapter 14:13. And the scripture said, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in the brother or sister's way. I add sister because the scripture says brother's way. The devil had his chance to pile on judgment against us for all our sins, beloved. We gave him plenty of ammunition to launch. Yes, we did. Given our bent towards unrighteousness or our antagonism to God's way. But our kind Father, oh, the Holy Father, made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, verse 21. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 and 1. Hallelujah. Come on now, give him praise. There's nothing left to judge here. Okay, and since the enemy can't judge us, he wants to turn us into judges. Ooh! And let me try to get as much out of here because the time, I'm looking at the time. In any gathering of people in Jesus' name, in any collection of the redeemed where a local church comes together, the opportunity exists for being critical, thinking the worst, holding grudges, and taking offense. I told you tonight it was talking about frustration and forgiveness. And our enemy loves this. Togetherness. Oh, yes. Togetherness. We got to come together. It's one of the main things he wants to assault. He wants us isolated. He wants us on our own. He doesn't want us to recognize the power of being part of a body, part of the family of God. He wants us embittered, laden with unforgiveness, pointing fingers, and separated by suspicions of betrayal. How you betrayed me, how you hurt me, how you talked about me, how you stabbed me in the back, how you walked out on me. How? So he pokes and he pries us towards judgment and those around us until even as we stand beneath the free flowing shower of the Father's grace, we aren't willing to release the same grace to our brothers and our sisters. Come on, listen. In the passage best known for its description of the armor of God, Ephesians 6, one of the items listed is the shield of faith, verse 16. The function of this piece of spiritual protection, Paul said, is to help us to be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Among the common tactics in this ancient Roman warfare was the practice of shooting fiery darts, beloved. As the King James put it, the purpose of launching them, however, was not so much to kill as to create distraction. What's distracting you? What's distracting us? The entry of flaming arrows into the opposing camp would set the supplies on fire and threaten the living quarters. The enemy knew if they could force the fighting men to break ranks, listen, in order to tend to those haphazard places, they could exploit the resulting holes and weakness in the line. Those little flashes of trouble that need putting out would keep the army too busy to fight back and hold the ground. So when we break rank with our fellow soldiers, we break rank with our sisters, or we break ranks with our brothers through our little side squabbles or our families and quarrels, we take the church, our families, our communion off mission and off business. Precisely what the enemy wants. Now, let us not judge one another anymore, because when we only plan into his hand, when we do by standing together, not even the gates of hell can stand against us when we're together. Beloved, my time is up. I pray that you was blessed. I pray that you received something. If you do not know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin, according to Romans, ask him to come in. Ask for forgiveness. Let him become the head of your life. I love you in Christ. There is nothing you can do about it. Join me next week every Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. God bless you, and may God's peace and grace shine upon you. Have a blessed night.